Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and APU Katie with Jake Gutierrez. Now joined by Jamie Bluma. I literally just got an email at 7:05 a.m. The 100 most influential people in the world. That list will be released tomorrow. It's Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world. And Time has sent out this press release that Patrick Mahomes is on the list.
Wow.
That is awesome.
You got to wonder if Travis Kelce be on that list, too.
How are you doing?
I don't think so.
How are y'all doing?
Hey, Taylor's not on that list.
Nobody got the press release.
Come on.
I don't know.
You would think that he and Taylor and Jason all might be on there.
No doubt.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, Travis, don't they have like the number one podcast in the world? Something like that. At least maybe number one sports podcast.
Yes, but does that make them influential?
That's a good question.
You know, people listen.
Yeah.
If it was like the most influential sports figures, yes. Yeah. I don't, you know.
What does Patrick Mahomes influence you to do besides buy tickets and watch the Chiefs?
Wear things.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But, you know.
I mean, he doesn't have a podcast.
Buy insurance.
Insurance. I mean, he, you know, Head and Shoulders, Adidas, State Farm, Oakley.
I just read yesterday, speaking of influence, we played a little Beyonce's new country album. Apparently Levi's and cowboy hats and sales have gone through the roof.
Okay.
Because Beyonce's got a country album.
It's a good album.
It is. I agree. I thought she might pop up on stage with Kane Brown Thursday night at T-Mobile.
How was that show?
It's a good show. I'm a Parmalee fan. They've been around a long time. They're good Canadian country. And then Tyler Hubbard, who was one half of Florida Georgia Line.
Who was the young lady with the Chiefs jersey that joined you on stage?
On stage?
Yeah. Who was that?
Wasn't on stage.
Who was the young lady that was on stage? There was no?
I don't remember. I was not on stage.
No, I said, who was the young lady that joined him on stage?
Oh, man, I looked it up.
That was wearing
that night,
a Chiefs jersey.
Yeah, I can't remember.
All right.
May have had a cocktail.
Were you at the concert, Jamie?
Part of it. Part of it, yeah.
Well,
you've been to concerts with Bluma, haven't you?
Right. Stupid question. Shouldn't have asked.
Allegedly. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But we'll have to rehash. I wish Kid Rock would come back. We'd go see Kid Rock again.
Where was... I'm trying to... See, now you're going to make... Okay, yeah.
I looked it up that night of, and I can't remember who it was.
You make me think I'm crazy. Right, you're looking at me like, what do you mean? What girl? What jersey? Like, I don't know. I thought there was.
All she has on is that jersey and some boots.
And what's the problem with that?
I didn't say there was anything wrong with it.
No, there's some shorts.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look at his wife, Caitlin.
Was it?
That's what it says.
All right.
Kane Brown performs at T-Mobile Center. Kane Brown performed last night with wife Caitlin, who donned a Patrick Mahomes jersey.
Oh, there you go.
On stage.
She's a good singer in her own right.
Did you have any idea that happened until I just said that? Be honest.
I'm getting coming back to me.
It looked like this. Does this picture look
that was
like something you attended?
The confetti looks familiar.
Right. It seems like this would. This was you remember this part?
Yes.
Yeah, but that might have been late in the concert.
Well, it was. Yeah,
I mean, they were the third act.
Oh right. Yeah.
All right.
Kind of like when Jake saw the white, Jack White with you.
Is this it?
This is it.
Oh, I do remember this part.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah. Because I was singing.
To know that I'm a sign of thank God, your name is the
look like it.
To the rafters. They remodeled the Founders Club. You were unaware of that. They have remodeled the Founders Club. It was back open.
There goes the confetti.
So, is she a famous, like, well-known singer as well? She happens to be a good singer.
She is a good singer, too. And she and they have done a couple compilations together.
And so she announced her pregnancy also on stage.
She did do that. Sure.
Did she?
I look at him acting like he knew. You need to start making some stuff up, and Blue Moon will be, oh, yeah, that happened. Well, they say she rappelled from the ceiling, you know.
We've been doing concert together. You know how it goes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to rehash.
She rode a horse out onto the stage. Yeah. Blue Moon was like, yep, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. You were on stage. No, wait.
Well, how about this Seth Lugo, huh?
Oh, man. Awesome.
Man, I saw some numbers from our buddy Jack Johnson had some good tweets last night about what's happening with the Royals and their starting rotation.
7 wins in a row against the White Sox. It's the longest streak in the franchise history.
5-0 this year.
Over the White Sox.
By the way, just a quick question. How many losses were the Royals last year? 106?
Yeah, 106.
How many losses are the White Sox on the way to?
112.
Because they're awesome. What a start.
Let's not dwell on that. Let's just
I don't like the White Sox at all. I want to dwell on it. How many losses are they going to have? They get over 110. They're 2-14.
They're brutal.
They are god-awful. Thank you.
Seth Lugo,
would have been the under on those Sox.
This from Jack Johnson. In his last 30 starts, Seth Lugo has thrown 21 quality starts. 4-for-4 with the Royals when it comes to quality starts.
And he's bounced around a little bit out of the rotation, in the rotation, and all that. So kudos to him to getting back on to probably what he would rather do is be a starting pitcher. I did get a text last night, too. From part of my Tanner's crew was like, whoever decided to sign Seth Lugo, we need to kiss them right square on the lips. I said, thank Michael Wacha for making a phone call.
It was Lugo, then Wacha.
Lugo, then Wacha. Right. Either way, I mean, like, awesome.
Thank Lucas Giolito, Marcus Stroman, and Jack Flaherty for turning the Royals down so they could turn their eyes to Seth Lugo. That's what you think.
And I heard you had talked last year just about your rotisserie team and getting Lugo for a dollar and all that stuff. And I always liked his stuff. But he always fell into that category of what is he? You know, what are they going to do with him? He's been with the Mets, I think, his entire career.
He started out as a starter.
Right.
But then became a very effective reliever. But even when he was a reliever, they didn't know what to do with him. Was he a closer? Is he a setup guy? Is he a long reliever? Is he a spot starter? They could never figure out what to do with him. And then the Padres got him we're going to make him a starter. And he was really good last year as a starter.
Really good. It reminds me a little bit when Jeremy Affeldt was here, we couldn't figure out what to do with him.
Minus the blisters.
Well. Yeah.
But like if you're the Mets.
Pickle juice.
Doesn't that make you kind of feel somewhat, I don't know, I want to say stupid, but if you're the Mets, you had this the whole time you had him. And you could have had an effective starting pitcher, and you're just like, well.
Do you know what? This happens. I talk about it all the time. This happens across the league a lot, where a person goes somewhere else and does something different. Somebody has a different vision for what they're doing. They do something a little bit different. Pitching, hitting, all like Ryan O'Hearn. Couldn't figure it out over here. He's gone to Baltimore, and he's found a niche, and he's hitting over 300 again. You know, it's just a different, you know, different eyes on you, different ideas, different mindset. I'm glad we got him, and I'm glad he talked Wacha into coming over here, and it's completely changed this. I mean, there's a whole lot of different faces on this team as well, but those two have certainly made a huge impact 17 games into the season. Changed everybody's mindset, I think, from the starting rotation standpoint, and the young guys are just going to have to benefit from it, and I think they are so far.
So, obviously, you have to have some good fortune for a bunch of different moves to work out properly. And we talked with Scott Sharp. He kind of offered it up to us. He's like, hey, look, a couple of guys we wanted really bad got hurt. You know, that's not like, oh, we were smart. It was, you know, we didn't get them. Yeah. You know, you're lucky sometimes for things that don't work out. But you also have to give, to me, like we're still in the very early stages of the J.J. Piccolo regime.
True.
And Steven, you've talked about the importance of, you know, being more transactional, maximizing your trades, the Cole Reagans thing being obviously at the top of the list. James MacArthur is closing games now. You know,
they acquired him in May for a guy that's a AAA.
Yeah, and at the time, MacArthur had a 7.31 ERA in AAA, and he's closing. And now, look, he's not having a great season right now, but he's closing games out. They're getting used. They seem like they're doing a good job of finding value.
Who did they trade for James MacArthur?
I've got it here in front of me.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Who was it?
Yeah. Junior Marin, as I assume how you
say it. But the point is.
Yeah.
But, right. No, but this
he's
just,
played five games in the Phillies organization total.
Just stop right there. Think about this.
Yeah.
Because not all trades are going to go this well, right?
100%.
And this is, we're looking at this in a vacuum, but look at this. Trading Aroldis Chapman for Cole Reagans. You couldn't get a better return for a guy that they... What was Chapman before they signed him?
It took us a while to figure out a trade partner on that thing. I don't even know. It was a whole bunch of people were cold feet on even wanting to.
But they traded him pretty early, though. They didn't wait for the trade deadline.
But I thought he would have gone even earlier because how well he was throwing.
But people didn't trust it because remember what he was when they signed him? He'd lost his command, and people were thinking he might be done. Yeah. And so that was – the Royals don't get enough credit for signing him to begin with. First of all, there was backlash. Second of all, it looked like he might be done. And so then not only did they sign him, but they were able to coax the best out of him to get an attractive return.
I liked it from the jump. Buy low, sell high, because nobody else really wanted him. He needed a place to come reset and –
find value. You know, this organization's got to find value in places, and they tried to do it with Jordan Lyles, and it didn't really work out. But they're getting something from Lyles this year, at least.
I mean, they traded him June 30th.
Yeah.
So they got it took a while, but they got the jump,
right?
Which you're pretty good, right? And so then you look at the other trade that we've talked a lot about. Jose Kwas. I don't know what you thought of Kwas.
I liked Kwas.
Good six innings, sure. Whatever. But you'll trade him for your everyday DH, won't you?
Sure.
A guy that has 30 home run pop?
Who I didn't even really... When we got him, I'm like, okay. Who?
He had pop, man.
We knew he had juice.
But Nelson Velasquez. Yep. And that's just a one-on-one trade. And then you add in trading Junior Marin, who's at AAA right now, for whatever he's going to become. MacArthur, who's good enough right now to have three saves to be closing.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too.
That's incredible. That's outstanding.
Well, and I love this team the bullpen's righted the ship after that first week. But I understand that the bullpens are volatile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just ours, but
you're
across
volatile.
The league and sometimes.
If they just came around, figure out, man. It sounds like you were maybe right.
Present. Yeah, the best ability is availability. Just how volatile a bullpen can be, and people take it and run with it, and. We're going through a, knock on wood, going through a good stretch last night. One of the things that I loved about last night is they got Stratton right back out there.
Yeah.
After I was listening to the game on Sunday. Did either one of you watch the game on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I was.
I heard that the calls were, we could have gotten a bunch of strike calls our way when Stratton walked four guys. I was pissed. I was listening to it. But apparently, so I went back and looked at umpire scorecard yesterday, and it looked like he missed a couple, home plate umpire missed a couple calls, or things are really a lot closer than they appeared to be when I was listening to the show. So for him to be able to go right back out there and get him right back on and him have a really, really good inning last night, I think that's a big deal because, man, that sucks. You get into a game and you know, a 0-0 game in the eighth inning and you just upchuck and walk four guys, but I don't think it was just him. And we've seen a couple instances this year. I'm sure you saw the Angel Hernandez deal against the Rangers and Astros the other night. If you look at his little,
he's so bad. He's horrible.
Come on.
But to the point that Nate brought up that I made, you see those trades, right? And at the time, were any of them considered blockbuster trades?
I didn't even remember how they got MacArthur until I read about it again. You know? Oh yeah.
But and it's not just making moves to make moves. They clearly saw something in Reagans. They clearly saw something in Velasquez, and they clearly saw something in MacArthur. And if you end up, and who knows what will happen between now and, like you said, bullpens are volatile, right? But if it ends up, those three trades provided you with your number one starter, your everyday DH, and your closer, good God.
Right.
How much do
we couldn't even have hoped for that?
If you go and try to fill those roles in free agency, how much does that cost? How much is that worth? And so that's why I say, and I've felt that way for so long. And Dayton Moore would just drag his feet and wouldn't do it. His loyalty worked to help get this franchise a championship. But then it also started to work against him afterwards. And then it just got to the point where, man, they are just unwilling to move anybody. Mm-hmm. They're unwilling to move off. And and I've had people tell me in the Royals organization, you know, yes, we were guilty of falling in love with our players too much.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still some of that. And we're trying to break away from that because it's a different approach. And I'm not saying be exactly like Tampa, but when you have such a trust in your evaluation process and make 10 trades, and if you win 7 of them, keep going, keep churning it.
And like, to me, this is the part where embracing the analytics a little bit more. I know sometimes I come across as an anti-analytics guy, and that's not the case. You're trying to find value. And if your numbers guys can look at a pitcher and go, you know what? Yeah, the overall numbers say that he's not very good right now, but we see these numbers right here that say he's got some potential. You combine that with the pitching lab that they have and talk to those guys. They go, you know what? If we can help him with this pitch or that pitch, all of a sudden we've got a pitcher that's better than what he looks like he is right now. That's what they did with Reagans, right? They taught him a new pitch. They helped him with a couple things, and they took a guy that you weren't really sure what he was to, this guy could start the All-Star game. And they took a guy, McCarthy, who had a 7.3 ERA in AAA, and he's got 3 saves all of a sudden. And so it's got to work hand-in-hand, the baseball part and the analytics part.
Well, and to add to that, too, is you give him all this information, that the player himself has to implement it and has to be able to go out there and perform, you know, and be able to use those tools and compete and go out there and execute what they've been working on. Don't leave, you know, hanging breaking balls in the you still have to go out there as a player. You can identify all those things, but kudos to MacArthur so far. I mean, he's been able to go out there and execute. I don't know how often he's gotten the opportunity to close, you know, anywhere he's been, but sounds like, well, I mean, looks like that he's taken to that role a little bit right here. I think we all kind of knew that it was default going to be on Will Smith at the start of the year because he was the guy. I don't even know if he ever wanted to. He just got gifted that because of the experience that he's had. I'm sure he's just happy to go continue to do what he's done most of his career, is be that lefty, you know, 3-batter guy wherever in the middle of the game when you need that, not necessarily the last 3-out guy.
Well, there's, to me, if you want to win as a small market team like Tampa Bay, like Cleveland has, you have to be able to find value. You know, find guys that weren't going to cost as much money or that other people didn't see something in and get something out of them. And it actually starting to give me a little optimism that maybe this regime can develop some pitching. You know, because at this point we've talked about it, they haven't been able to develop any.
More trades.
If they can bring other guys from other organizations in and help them right away, why can't they start drafting guys and developing them through their system too? It's going to take a little longer because you can't just develop somebody overnight. But I'm actually like, yeah, maybe. And to go back to your point about the bullpen, how much easier does it make to manage the bullpen for Q and just for the bullpen to do well, the fact that they're getting consistency out of their rotation? And they're not having to blow their bullpen up because their starter only went 2 innings. Doesn't that make things so much better for the bullpen in general? It makes you look like a smarter manager that, like, you're, oh, this guy really knows how to handle his bullpen.
Well, for sure. And when you're only worried about 2 or 3 innings versus 4 or 5 innings, you know, and we've been lucky to this standpoint that we haven't had a start this year where our starters got completely blown up early in the game. I mean, I think everybody's gone at least 4, 5, 6. We've got a few 7s in there, which we haven't had. Especially at the beginning of the season, in years. I mean, we have to be averaging pretty close to 6 innings per start from our starters across the board through however many games we're in, 17 now, which is a huge help on that bullpen. I mean, we've had a couple hiccups in that bullpen. Will Smith with a couple games early, and Stratton, with the help of a terrible home plate umpire, couldn't get it done the other night. But, man, we're pretty close to, I mean, we could be something in 3. When we take a couple of those games in Baltimore that I think we could have won, and then that swing game in New York over the weekend, I mean, But still, at this point, man, I couldn't be happier how things are going. And then we'll throw up a 10 spot like nobody's business from the offensive side, but at the same time, we go out and win a game like we did yesterday, and you don't know. I mean, Garcia a little bit on a cold spell. Witt hasn't done, over the last three or four games.
Vinny's on fire.
Exactly. You got another guy step up. Thank God that Salvi's injury is only going to be a one-day thing.
Right.
That was a little scary.
Great. He's answering people on Twitter that he's going to be okay.
Right. Today. He'll be back today. Great throw by Melendez, too. So.
Vinny Pasquantino, like what Buster Poindexter said, hot, hot, hot.
I ordered the Pasquantino keychain. Did you get that one?
No,
this morning?
I will. We will take a break. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the show. We got Mike Boddicker. He's wandering around in here. Jamie Bloom is in here. Nate Bucchetti hobbled with a broken leg. Jake Gutierrez giggling and everything.
Bob just walks in and goes, "There's no cure for stupid, is there?" I'm like, "Nope."
And now,
and here's a donut.
Yeah, just what I need when I can't do any exercise. Give
Let's
me a donut.
Let's see if we... an earlier wake-up call than he anticipated, but I wanted him in drive time. Our next guest, young Mr. Philip St. John. Philip, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good morning, Phil.
You tired?
Just slightly. This may be an hour or two before my usual wake-up time for this day.
Or three. What time is your first class?
It is 11:30.
What is it?
Crack of 11.
It is entrepreneurship.
And where at? Where do you go to school?
I go to UMKC.
Uh-huh. And the
Block Business School.
Oh, the Block Business School. There. So you're, and this is, you're finishing off your junior year.
Yes.
What's your GPA? Come on.
It's like a 3.9 and then something, something, something.
Yeah, it's like 3.97. All right. That's for me to know you by that. And we have you on the show today because, unbelievably, today is your 21st birthday.
Oh, Phil!
Are you serious?
20. I can't believe it. None of yous can believe it either.
I can just remember you crushing hot dogs in the suite.
Don't you remember the
playoffs?
I can still do that.
Sounds like a dare.
Don't you remember when we took Richie to training camp, when training camp was still up in River Falls, Wisconsin?
I was just going to say that.
And what happened?
First time I ever worked with Steve, I just come to this radio station, and they're like, "You're going to go to cover training camp with Stephen St. John.
You better watch your mouth."
And your mom came running out and introduced herself to me. And then you're like, "We're taking my son Richie." And then, if I remember correctly, it was, how old would Phil have been about that time? Maybe 3 or 4 years old? He comes running out the front door, and Steven's like, "Oh, he's going to really miss me." No, he really missed Richie.
He was screaming for Richie.
Richie!
Don't leave Richie!
He was just a little toddler. Now look at you all grown's up, and you grown's up, and you grown's up.
Can't remember when you bloodied my lip or I bloodied your brother's nose or whatever. I don't. You were young then too. I think you had to have been 6 or 7 or 8.
Yeah,
so I think
Never
Richie was.
Seems about right.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you believe you're 21?
No, not really.
Do you feel different?
Also, no, not really.
Are you going to do anything big today for your birthday?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're just. He knows that we're just going out to dinner.
Where's dinner?
Yeah, tell him.
Come on, your pick, Chama. Right? Your pick?
Huh?
Yeah.
Say it again.
In Chama's.
In Chama's Brazilian Grill.
Put them out of business, aren't you, Phil?
Absolutely. They will regret allowing it to the table.
I've seen it with my own eyes.
What did you tell me last night? You're not going to eat at all today?
Yeah.
I'm
that's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
He's fasting right now. He said since last night.
So that's the kind of thing where you turn the coin over if you still.
Oh, yeah.
That coin just staying on green, isn't it?
See me coming.
Dude, between me and him and my dad and Richie, are you kidding me? We're going to put a hurting on them, but you know what?
It's going to get ugly.
Yeah, he loves it, and that's why we're going. And you're going to class on your birthday.
I am.
All right. proud of you for that too.
Last time I saw you in person, Phil, I think it was taking my order at Dominic's Casual Italian. Can I still see you there, or have you moved on to other things?
He's moved.
I have moved on.
Okay.
He's moved on to bigger and better things.
Good.
But he loved his time there.
He did a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
So you've worked at you've worked at the National, you've worked out of the airport, you've worked at Dominic's, you're working on getting an internship over the summer, and so, I mean, you get one more year of college, you're a young man, Phil St. John.
Carving a path, young man.
How about that?
Boy.
Any comments on the NBA or anything? I know that's your go-to. That you want to make?
The NBA, I mean, the Rockets missed the playoffs. Yeah. I'm upset about that. We went on like an 11-game winning streak only to just completely fumble it at the end.
Why are the Rockets your team?
Fred VanVleet.
That's some deep-rooted beef with Killian.
Former intern Killian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that has to do with a lot of 2K hours in games that just a weird attachment to the Rockets. So here I am.
Have you made it up to Lawrence any to hang out with your buddies like Namdi and all that? For a while there, you were spending a lot of time in Lawrence.
Yeah. It's been a few months since I've been up there, just busy with school and everything. But
is that busy with school? Is that what it is, Phil?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
You know what? You have a wonderful girlfriend, and it's okay to say it. You should be very proud because
I do. That's yeah.
We all love her.
I'm her too.
Right, and she'll be there too. Right? Are you not embarrassed to eat 5 or 6 pounds of delicious Brazilian meat in front of your girlfriend? Is that
not at all? Because that's actually on my Valentine's Day one.
Oh yeah, he took it for Valentine's Day. Nice. That's a real romantic right there.
She's aware of the Philip meat sweats.
Well,
she knows what this young man is capable of.
Oh boy, now, you know what? I think we all are.
Yep.
Hey Phil. So I'll let you rest up for your entrepreneurship class. We're all very happy for you that you've turned out to be an awesome young man, 21 years old and ready to attack this world. You got the world by the tail, baby. So
happy birthday, Phil.
Thank you.
But hey, before we go, do we like the Warriors -2.5 tonight?
Yeah.
Is that who we like? Sacramento, the play-in game?
Yeah, what do you like there?
Yes.
Yeah, who you get play-in game? Who do you got? Come on.
Two play-in games tonight.
I weirdly enough, I mean, I don't want to select the Warriors, but I think they're going to win tonight.
That's 2.5.
All right, what's the other game?
Lakers and Pelicans. Lakers getting a point.
Well, we got one for the Pelicans, Jarrett Sutton.
Yeah, that is true, but the last matchup between them was not very good. Not very good for the Pelicans.
Yeah, a lot of people saying the Lakers are going to throw this game so they don't get the Nuggets in the first round.
Wow.
That's a good strategy, but I would just rather take the guaranteed playoff spot.
I'm with you, but there's a lot of people say they might rest AD and he's banged up. LeBron's scared of the Nuggets, you know. Like, Jordan would have been scared of any team.
Wow. There it is, now starting the
What was Jordan doing at the time, at this stage in his life?
Gambling.
A little gambling? Golf. A little betting?
Yeah. Me and Ryan Sandberg were at
being the
sports
best
book.
Ever.
He was not being the best ever when he was LeBron.
Phil, before you get overshadowed by this pissy match between Jake and Nate over LeBron James and Michael Jordan, honestly, I want to tell you, I'm super proud of you. You're a fantastic son, a great young man. And I'm proud to be your dad. So happy birthday, and I love you very much, and I can't wait to celebrate tonight. And then we're going to have a little get-together for the Canelo fight on May 4th with you and the boys. And Grandpa will be overseeing everything, so I know you're excited about that.
All right. We'll see how that one goes.
All right, Phil. Go to school. Happy birthday. I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
He said he loved me on the air.
Oh, man.
He's a real man now.
You guys are cute.
He's
happy birthday,
kid.
Phil.
Thank you.
All right,
I really don't understand how you did it.
I don't. Well, credit Susan. Don't say anything, Phil. All right? End on a high note. Don't say anything.
He chuckled.
Oh, I won't.
Happy birthday,
yeah,
buddy.
Thank you, Phil. Go to sleep.
Thank you.
All right. Robbing him of his prep work for class.
I remember when Susan was pregnant with Phil. So the first time I met your mom and dad and Susan at the Bowl.
Oh, wow.
High School.
Oh, my God.
In 2002, November
of one of those early on. That's a... Corby.
Yeah, Stan Weber was...
Ah. Man, some of this stuff, it's not even in my mind. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I was at one of those
first time I met
your
mom and dad. And Susan, I believe, was the first time I met her, too. It was November of 02. I was this young, spry intern in the neighborhood.
Hey, Mom, would you meet this intern? Look at this guy.
Hi.
Gutierrez? Oh,
I'm
like
sorry
him.
About my son and the things he says.
2002.
Yeah, man.
Wow, that's impressive.
Here's a baseball nugget I take from the man they call K-Dog, Curtis Siebold, in his Twitter account. The White Sox, we're talking about how bad the White Sox are. They're the 15th team ever to lose 14 of their first 16 games. And they're the first to do it. Just to let you know how rare this is, they're the first to do it since the 2010 Orioles. There's your precious Orioles, Mike Boddicker. And I'm looking at this list here. And there is a Royals team that's on it. What year did the Royals achieve this feat?
Dubious.
There's some bad ones to pick from. This team started 1-15.
Oh.
You remember what year that was?
Yep. I don't.
04?
2005.
Mm-mm. 1992. Odd.
And the White Sox are running out another first-timer today on the mound.
That's the joy of the White Sox. That's just going to keep on happening all season long.
Hey, their guy yesterday,
they're that bad. This
their
is
guy
not
yesterday
a fluke.
Threw pretty good. I was impressed by him. The guy for Houston, they ran out there the other day. We beat the yarn out of him, so that was good. I couldn't believe that they left him in there to rot.
Well,
his major league debut, that was
Chris Getz is
alarming.
The GM, and Pedro Grifol is the manager.
Got a lot of Royals over there. Nicky Lopez.
Yeah. Mike Boddicker.
Benintendi.
Come here, Mike.
Uh-oh.
We got to do it. We got to do a push right now.
Yes. Two days left. What is
as
it?
As Jake Gutierrez says, it's time to shove. Got a couple
does
of pitchers.
Not say that.
Jake
is
repeatedly
it
says that.
Midnight tomorrow night.
Won't stop saying it.
Get up midnight. To this microphone, whatever microphone
before
you want. Step in
there.
Here. Come on.
Before we get there,
what happened?
Who is the worst start in Major League Baseball?
The Orioles.
Yes. Yeah. 0-21?
0-21. I was on that.
What year was that? 80.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Was it
88.
Was it funny?
88.
I had that.
Oh, that was really fun. Yeah. That was great. That was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Cal Ripken with leaning his forehead up against the bat?
Senior was manager, right?
Part of the time, and then they just kept. Yeah, they brought in Frank Robinson. They brought in that. It was terrible.
You managed for a little while.
Poorly. Yeah. No, it was bad.
Okay, so we've got how much more time before the deadline comes to buy raffle tickets for the Bourbon Raffle?
Tomorrow night, midnight. Last chance to get your tickets.
April 17.
Yeah.
We're trying to push to beat last year?
Yep.
And what's the goal that you're trying to achieve?
100 grand.
Where are we at right now?
I don't know.
I haven't looked this morning.
About
where are we at?
We're sneaking, right, we're sneaking
about
80, up on
about 80. You're Union Broadcasting, Mike.
Oh, so I got a lie?
You, so,
oh, okay.
So what? We close?
Yeah, we're getting close. Yeah, we're getting close. We just need a little push. That's all. We'll get there.
And they added
we're
a new bottle.
There. This is Kansas
hours.
City. They're the best people in the world.
What come new on. Bottle did you add?
Pardon? Oh, Mr. Sam's.
Yeah.
Tell people again about Mr. Sam's.
Mr. Sam's is a bourbon nobody's ever heard of, and it's an expensive, expensive bottle because you can't find it anywhere. And
how much is it worth?
Well, I think it's if you can find it on retail is $2,500. On the open market, secondary $35,000, $4,000.
Oh, God.
Yeah, to find it. You can't find it.
As much as Pappy.
Listen, it's more than Pappy.
Yeah. Boddickerfoundation.org. Boddickerfoundation.org. You go there and you click on see raffle details, and it gives you all the information. And buy tickets now. Must be 21 to enter. And if you buy a raffle ticket, you will have a chance to win one of these battles, or one of these bottles, when we pull the winners coming up on Monday. The tickets are only $5. You can purchase as many as you want, even if you just buy a couple, buy one. It all adds up. It all matters.
It does. It helps families.
And who does it help? It benefits Children's Mercy.
Children's Mercy, yes.
It helps the kids.
Helps the kids and their families. Yep.
So
if you go on, if you go online, there was a little video excerpt.
There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff, but there's a video of a little girl who went through leukemia out in Blue Springs at 6. She's on her final chemo touch up. She's 8. What a great family! They're going to be there. So
drawing, I can't wait to meet them.
Drawing next Monday. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. You'll be there, won't you, Bluma?
Yeah, Emily,
with bells on?
Emily and I will be there.
Good. Good, good, good.
Make him draw some names.
You know, Nate's not going to be there. He's got a broken ankle, but he's still going to hobble into New York.
A scooter.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll do. Because I have sympathy towards Nate because of his leg. If I pull his name, I'll allow him to win. You will win.
No way.
If you pull, no, so I want
Chad,
you to,
I don't like that
I want
idea.
You to donate.
Come
and,
on.
And you, no, if Bluma pulls your name, now you can't win. But if I pull your name, you win. I will not.
Yeah.
As I did 3 years ago, I will not crumple up your name and throw it to the ground.
We did. Yeah. And he won a really good bottle.
I didn't think it would look right.
Well, he dropped.
I want this to be on the
he
up,
would,
and
he,
up.
He would have dropped the bottle coming in anyway, so it didn't matter.
That's happened.
He's referencing. Did you know about that, Jake? Were you here for that one?
I can't remember.
Corey Anderson won a bottle, and he politely asked Nate to bring it to the studio for him, and Nate dropped it right outside the door and shattered out in the parking lot.
I think I do remember that.
I know Corey Anderson does.
Corey was licking the bourbon off the ground.
BodegerFoundation.org. Please buy the raffle tickets now, and then watch the live stream. It'll be on the Facebook platform on BodegerFoundation.org.
Yep, it sure will.
We have fun. You know,
yeah, our good friend at DMI donates all his time and his people and his
always
equipment. It's great.
Let's do it. And then you'll be in studio to make the final push. And then the deadline's tomorrow night at midnight. Then the raffle
will actually happen
on Monday.
Yes.
All right. BodegerFoundation.org. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. So this is making its rounds that Patrick Mahomes was on the world's most influential people list. And for some reason, they chose Alex Rodriguez to write about him, which is so odd.
Yuck.
But here's a couple of quotes that they sent me in the press release. Tell me what you guys think about this. See if this is getting Nate all hot and bothered. They asked him about his curiosity about pursuing a two-sport career. And this is Mahomes' quote. I've talked to the Royals, and if I can maybe go out to a spring training, I'm not opposed to that. I'll get it approved by the Chiefs and everything like that. But maybe one of these years I go out there and see what I got. See if I can still hit the ball or pitch or whatever that is. Maybe not in the game, but I can at least practice with them. So then they took that possibility to Andy Reid. Here's Andy Reid's response. He told Time magazine, I haven't even thought about that. You're hitting me with a pretty big one right there. He was a heck of a baseball player. He grew up around it. I'm sure he can play in the major leagues. I mean, he's pretty gifted. He'd have to take me as a manager. So, I mean,
he didn't say no.
I don't think Mahomes was kidding here, that he's talked to the Royals and would like to go out to a spring training and see. I mean, what is he? What did Eric Bieniemy tell us what he is? You don't think Patrick Mahomes sits there and wonders, could I hit that fastball? Could I strike him out?
Right.
Could I throw him out at the plate? Could I make that play in the hole? Hell yes, he does.
Oh, I don't think he wonders. I think he goes, I could hit that fastball.
Do you want it? I could strike that guy out. Does everyone here want this?
No.
I'm good for an inning.
No. I don't want it. I don't want it because I don't want him to blow his elbow out.
I don't mind him taking BP or something like
that. Yeah, I don't mind
him. Hail to the no. To the no, no, no.
Let's just settle this, Pat. We all know that you would be the best baseball player in the world if you played. So that's all you know it. You don't need to go prove it to anybody. I don't have a, like you said, hitting the chances
of
him
easy BP, that's fine. But
like pitching,
no bullpen.
I don't want him to go out there and try to see how hard he can throw because that's when you're like,
what do you say,
man.
Jake?
Huh?
Well, here we go.
I say hell no.
Okay.
Up to the no-no.
Well, that'd be just fun, though.
But, I mean, remember when the Chiefs had to tell him to stop playing pickup basketball with all the guys?
No. I mean, he might be a fine baseball player. Hell no.
You don't want to see him a couple spring training games?
I mean,
it would be great to
let
see
him. Take
right.
Some, go let him take some BP. Let him take some BP. I don't need to see him throwing anything.
One of the most exciting sporting events I've been to over the past couple of years was a freaking celebrity softball game where we had a home run derby, and he was just calling his shots. Incredible. And then in the game, he's hitting bombs. It was the MVS softball game. And you're like, right. He can just do whatever he wants and be the best at it. It doesn't matter. Any feat of strength or athleticism.
It's like when you watch him hit golf balls. He's got it.
Tell people how they get a hold of you for once.
Jay Bluma at homefieldkc.com, 913-320-4404, or at Bundy Jr. 19 on Twitter. The X.
Twitter.
Shaboozy.
Twitter.
Thank you for playing Shaboozy.
You got it, brother.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.